In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. Now listen to the people that he's preaching to. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him." So these are people that are far from God. He's probably in Matthew's house. And all these people, tax collectors and sinners, are coming near to hear and to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." He still does. He still does. We're redeemed sinners who go to the Eucharist, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, living out our baptismal life. We were once far from God, but now through Christ we have been brought to the Father through the blood of Jesus. So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." I tell you, there's no such thing as 99 righteous people when Jesus was speaking. Righteousness came through the blood of the Lamb. Righteousness came through baptism and faith. I tell you, we need Jesus. This was the lost sheep. And then we have the lost coin. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins and loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God than over one sinner who repents." Ah, yes. The repentance causes the angels of God to jump up and down, to dance and to praise the Lord extra. How we need it. These two parables talked about something that was lost, but the greatest thing about being lost is being found. I tell you, I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Oh, I once was lost, and the Lord came to me, and he pulled me out of the miry clay and put my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Ah, yes. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. The greatest thing about being lost is being found. Have you been found? Or are you still lost? Are you still lost, or have you been found? If you're still lost, you just say to Jesus, "I surrender my life to you. I give you everything I am and all that I have. I surrender my life to you." The best thing about being lost is being found. Are you found yet? Has Jesus found you, saved you, put your feet upon a rock, and put a new song in your mouth? Are you one of those people? Then we have the parable of the prodigal son and his brother. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to you.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living, wine, women, and song. When he had spent everything, a severe famine broke out throughout the country, and he began to be in great need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs." He's a Jew. He has nothing to do with pork. But now he's feeding the pigs, and I don't know if you've ever noticed, the pigsty smells to the nth degree. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. Then he came to himself and said, in other words, the pig pen did its work. He came to himself and said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But he still was the son in the pig pen. He still was the son in the pig pen. The pig pen did its work. He returns to the father. But the father said to the slaves, "Quick, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." I see, sandals on his feet. In other words, he's able to run away again, but he's not going to run away. He's been found. And once you've been found, you do not want to be lost anymore. "And get the fatted calf," that's veal, "and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and now has come to life again. He was lost and now is found." And they began to celebrate. Oh, they began to celebrate over the coming home of Junior. Oh, yes, they began to celebrate. And the angels in heaven were jumping for joy, too, because one lost sinner came to forgiveness and repentance. "Now his eldest son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then the elder brother became angry and refused to go into the party. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, saying, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured himself in property and prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate, We had to rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life, was lost and has been found. The best thing about being lost is being found. Oh, yes, I know what it is to be found. I know what it is to be touched by God. Thanks be to God. How much I need God. I had a great relationship with Mary, the Mother of God, and she led me to her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my witness. And the Lord gave me a new life. I was lost, and now I'm found. The best thing about being lost is being found. Say it. The best thing about being lost is being found. The elder son is like the person who goes to church every week and says, you know what? I go to church and I do whatever you want me to do. But this son of yours, he has been squandering your stuff, your money, with wine, women, and song. And you killed the fatted calf. What about me? Oh, just to be with the Father is enough. Just to be with the Father is enough. That elder son was also lost in his own way because he was jealous over the coming back of the younger son. I tell you, the best thing about being lost is being found. Do you know that today? The best thing about being lost is being found. Thanks be to God that the pig pen did its work for Sonny Boy. Looking at Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. Listen to this. In the beginning. What is that? That's Genesis 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. That's the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. And how did He create the heavens and the earth? Through the Word of God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who? The Word, a person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. All things came into being through the Word, and without Him not one thing came into being. When the Father spoke His Word, creation happened. Oh yes, Genesis is about creation. John is about redemption, being bought back by the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, what has come into being in the Word was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Hallelujah. The light came into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Do you know that today in your own life? You were in the darkness, and the light came, and He gave you a new name. He put your feet upon a rock, and He gave you a song to sing. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? Do you know that today? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. Who is the light? The Word. The Word is the light, so that all might believe through Him. He Himself was not the light. John was not the light. Why does John say this in the gospel? Because people were believing that John the Baptist was the Messiah. He was not the light, but He came to testify to the light. Who is the light? The Word. What is the Word's name in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary? His name is Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The true light that enlightens all men was coming into the world. The true light that enlightens all men was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through Him. In other words, He spoke. The Father spoke the Word, and the world came about. Genesis 1, creation. John 1, redemption. Through the blood of the Lamb. He came to what was his own, the Jewish people, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. I'll read this again. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Do you believe in him today? Do you believe in Jesus? Children of God, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen to the 14th verse. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. It really says, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. What does that sound like? Sounds like the Jewish people going through the desert under a tent with the Holy of Holies in that tent. Oh yes, sounds like that. And that's what it is. He lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Father's only Son. What's his name? The Word. What does the Word become? In the womb of the Virgin Mary. Becomes Jesus. Jesus is the Word. John testified to him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me." Now, we know John the Baptist was born ahead of the Lord, but yet the Lord existed from all eternity. In the beginning he was there. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. That's right. Listen to this. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God's only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, yes. In the womb of the Virgin Mary, when she said, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, "I am not the Messiah." I won't tell you, you are not the Messiah either. You try to fix everybody's problems. You didn't form the problems, and you can't fix them. The only thing you can do is pray for the people. You cannot be the Messiah. There's only one Messiah, the Word made flesh. His name is Jesus, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" John said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" John answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord." As the prophet Isaiah said, "I am the voice of crying out in the wilderness." I am that voice too. Crying out in the wilderness, saying to people, if you're lost, Jesus wants to find you. Saying to people that God wants you to become his son or his daughter by giving your life to Jesus. I am a voice in the wilderness. John is the voice in the wilderness. Crying out, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing?" It's all about the Pharisees. They're not going to like this at all because they are jealous of John the baptizer. They are jealous of him. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, I baptize you with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. The one who is coming after me, I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, verse 29, he saw Jesus coming toward him, John the Baptist, and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He's going to be the Paschal Lamb who sheds his blood for us and takes upon himself the sins of the world. "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed.'" Who? The Word made flesh. And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize," that's God, "with water, said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." Oh yes, do you know that today? That he came unto his own people, the Jewish people, and they received him not. He came into the world that was created through him, and the world did not know him. But as many as did know him, he gave the power to become children of God, sons and daughters of God. Are you a son of God today? People say, "Well, everyone's a child of God." No, only those who have been baptized and live their life in union with Jesus. Only those who have given their life to Jesus. Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? He came unto his own received him not. You're listening to me today. Have you ever received Jesus? Have you given him your life? Do you know him as your Savior and your Redeemer? Do you know him that he was the Word that spoke the world into existence? Oh, yes. The Father spoke the world into existence. Through whom? Through the Word. When was the Word born? He was never born. He always was in the beginning with God, and he is God. God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Do you know these things today? Not only in your head, but in your heart. Do you know these things today? That God calls you his son or his daughter because you have been baptized and given your life to Jesus. You need to give your life to Jesus. Amen and amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh, not at Christmas, but in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who said, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Tomorrow we'll see the first disciples of Jesus Christ. They come to him, and you know, they knew what hour it was when they came to him. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That means that at that hour, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, their lives were changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.